work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, 3 hours away from kickoff of the final regular season game. Maybe you get a little bit of luck and it's not the last game of the year. I'm not going to blow smoke up your skirt, tell you to believe in fairy tales here. I mean, we all understand that it's a big lift and a big ask for the Falcons to get lucky for the Swampers to beat the Bucs today down in Tampa. But you know what? You go out with your head held high if you can and beat the Carolina Panthers in a game that you ought to win anyway. So let's see if we can't get another performance out of Michael Penix. And there are things from him that I do want to see, you know, again, as we start to move into this kind of new era of Falcons football. John Frankie alongside Joe Patrick outside Mercedes-Benz to take you inside top of the hour for the network and the pregame show with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson ahead of Wes and Dave on the call of this game. Let's begin, Joe, with the injury report, catch up on both teams. The injury report brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. What do you got, Joe?
Yeah, you know, the Falcons a lot healthier these last few weeks than they have been for much of the season. Although when you look at the injury report, it's a mile long because you've got tons of guys who are banged up. But only three questionable, nobody out, nobody designated as out coming into today. J.D. Bertrand, the linebacker, dealing with an eye injury. Uh-huh. He's questionable. Darnell Mooney seems like the most impactful one. He is questionable for this game, was limited and then did not practice on Friday. It kind of feels like he might not be able to play today. But we'll see about that one. Then Brandon Dorlus, the rookie, who I kind of hoped would be able to play, or I still hope he was able to play, and able to actually be on the active roster today. He's also questionable with an abdomen injury. Different story for the Carolina Panthers. So they're going to be without two cornerbacks, including their best one in J.C. Horn, also Lonnie Johnson. Josie Jewell, key inside linebacker for them, is going to be out. Another linebacker, Amare Barno, is going to be out. And then they've also got DJ Johnson, another linebacker, is out for the personal reason. And then five questionables for the Panthers. Offensive tackle Robert Hunt, also their other tackle Taylor Moten, Miles Sanders, the running back, Xavier Leggett, and A'shaun Robinson, defensive tackle. So those are all important players for this Panthers team.
Yeah, there's a lot of big names
that are all questionable,
right?
On top of the guys who are already out. So they're a real beleaguered team at this point.
Yeah, they are a beleaguered team, and there's no reason the Falcons shouldn't go out there and have their way in this game. And more so, it's just, I think, really, if nothing else, if this is not going to turn into, and we'll know fairly early in the afternoon here, into a, the Falcons are actually going to be able to go in, and but if it doesn't turn into that, what I think the Falcons have to focus on here is just winning the game, but also, again, the progression of what are you going to get out of the Penix era here. And this is about, it's really in a lot of ways the first game of next year.
Right.
Because there are going to have to be decisions made about guys like Judon and Simmons and other guys that, you're going into a draft. Let's not forget that while some people bemoan the fact that the Falcons traded away the third-round pick in the Judon deal, you're getting a third-round pick that you haven't even seen. That's Braylon Trice.
That's right. Yeah, it'll be like a new signing next year. And on top, adding on to a pass rush unit that I think we're going to have a lot different perspective on going into next year based on what we've seen these last 5 weeks or however long it's been since the bye. Pretty impressive stuff. And so how does he fit into that? Feels like the list of offseason needs has changed kind of significantly over these last 6 weeks because of what we've seen defensively.
Well, I mean, you've seen the rise of JT Bertrand. You've seen the unlocking of Arnold Lebakady finally.
Yeah.
You know, this is why I say, you know, what happens if you do unlock Kyle Pitts, you know? And it is an important – now, Kyle Pitts – look, understand, Kyle Pitts is going to be back next year. But maybe he just has to be coached up better, you know? And maybe it's a question of, you know, really focusing in and getting him to be the best version of himself because – some people say he's a bust as if he's a bad player.
Right.
I just don't see, he's not a bad player.
Yeah.
He's not a star. He's not worthy of the number four pick. Well, okay, Trey Lance wasn't worthy of the number three pick. Zach Wilson wasn't worthy of the number two pick. It happens, but at least he's not a total bust like those two.
Yeah.
That's a bust.
I'll put my Kyle Pitts take out there, which is that I'll say the frustrating part first, or the critical part of his game first, which is that he's weak at the catch point, which you do not expect from a big physical athletic tight end like he is. Like, you expect someone with his frame to be really strong in those positions, and he's not. And I think that that's part of what makes people so angry when they see him not be able to come down with some of those balls.
Yeah, he's not a tough guy.
Is that they think that that's a strength, that he should be coming up with those balls. And maybe we did think that he should at some point, but at some point you have to come to terms with who the player is. So that's not a strength of his game. But what is a strength of his game is obviously still the athleticism, the speed, the ability to run away from players after the catch. You think back to some of the big explosive plays that he's made this year, that post against the Bucks. I mean, he had a corner route that he scored for a touchdown first, and then a post on the second touchdown, which he almost fumbled at the goal line. But it just showed the traits that he has to run away from some of these players. And I still think that despite the fact that we have, you know, I think there's you know, like I said, genuine criticisms and issues you can have with him
as a
player.
Yes.
There's things that he still brings to the table as well that you don't necessarily just have to overlook just because he's flawed in some other ways.
Right. Well, I mean, we know he's not a great blocker.
Right.
For example, which is why you keep saying, well, you know, maybe he needs to be a wide receiver, or maybe they need to invent a reason to put him at H-back, you know, and create an H-back situation for him, you know, as opposed to just being, he's not a traditional tight end. We all know that.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie Warner has been a really big addition to this team, and the times he's been out, this club has missed him.
Yeah.
But that goes to the whole this, and the reason it's important is because we have to have the discussion about Terry Fontenot and everybody mad about Terry Fontenot. I think that Terry Fontenot didn't hire Arthur Smith. Terry Fontenot put together a team under Arthur Smith that won 7 games a year, each of the 3 years. It wasn't enough. I understand that. But he also put together a team that was viable to Christmas and to New Year's in a division. Yes, granted, the division hasn't been very good. Still isn't this year. But the fact is he put together a team ragtag by getting guys on one-year deals, and then when it goes to his drafting that everybody seems to be so mad about, could it be that these 4 draft picks over the last 4 years are all stars by next year? I mean, you're talking about Bijan, one of the best running backs in the NFL. Yes or no? Yes. Is Drake London a star wide receiver? Yes. Can Michael Penix be a star quarterback? Looks that way. Can you unlock Kyle Pitts and turn him into a weapon? Maybe. Maybe these 4 picks are actually pretty darn good.
I think I think they're fine picks. And but John, ultimately, I think that the issues that a lot of fans have with the drafting has not been the first round players. There may be some you know, opinions that people have about whether you should take a running back, you know, in the first round or as high as the Falcons did in general. But ultimately, I think a lot of people understand that these are very talented, good players, productive players that the Falcons have drafted. But it's more of, you know, in the second, third, fourth rounds. And again, it's like it's really hard to judge because, again, Ebikadi would have been classified in the you know, the failure bucket until
the last five weeks
where he's been it looks like he's like the next coming of, you know, whoever your favorite pass rusher. So you just never know how these players are going to evolve over the course of their time. But I think that you can say that this is a thin team. Like, when this team has had injuries, there's not necessarily players kind of waiting in the wings who, you know, were fifth, sixth round picks who are, you know, ready for that moment, stepping in and going to be kind of plug and play types of guys.
Oh, make no mistake, I am holding everybody to account, okay? And next year is critical for both Raheem Morris and especially for Terry Fontenot. I hold everybody to account. And like a lot of Falcons fans, I'm tired of waiting too. I'm tired of waiting for you. Okay, so I'm tired of waiting as well. At the same time, I think I finally, I said this after the Giants game, I stand by it after the Washington game, it's like for the first time, maybe since 2017, I can actually see the future. And the future is Michael Penix and Bijan and Drake. Now, will Kyle be part of that? The future is there's a future I can see for this franchise. As a matter of fact, there's a future that I think if they do the offseason right, I think a lot of people going into next year are going to go, okay, where do the Falcons fall? Are they going to be preseason favorites in the NFC South? Are they actually a better team than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
They should be.
As old as the Bucs are, you know, they're going to be losing guys.
Right.
You know? So it's I don't know. I think based on Michael Penix, they may be the favorites in the NFC South going into the year. All right, now they got to deliver.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things when you talk about all these young players and these players coming together, I think some continuity will help them. You know, it's like I think the last thing you want to do, frankly, even if you've had issues with Raheem Morris, for example, as the head coach, is to just like chop and change everything because you know you don't make the playoffs, which was a failure, et cetera, et cetera. But you need that continuity to like go into the next year and develop under a system. And in Zach Robinson's offense, like how is that going to work now with a different quarterback who can do some different things than you had with Kirk Cousins? So I totally agree with you. I mean, I think that it's very easy to just like get off course because you need that pound of flesh that you know somebody's got to pay for what has been a bad season. You just have to make prudent decisions at all these spots, whether it's head coach or your outside linebacker or your general manager. You know, you just have to do what is best, what's going to put you in the best position to win. And sometimes that's not always going to please fans right away with what they kind of want emotionally and what they feel.
Well, one of the things we talked about was, you know, how do you deal with Bijan and Tyler? It's readily obvious to a lot of us that Tyler Allgeier, who ran for 1,000 yards his rookie year coming out of BYU, that he's a lead number one back in the NFL and ought to get that chance. He's a lot like it was with San Diego when San Diego had LaDainian Tomlinson and Michael Turner was his backup, and a lot of fans of San Diego said, you know, Michael Turner needs to be a starter in the NFL, and where did he end up? Here. Hmm. And Michael, you know, the burner Turner turned into hella back for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
I love having the 1-2 combo, and it'll be that way next year, but that'll be a decision that just sort of like, how do you use those two both? And they started to put them on. Remember when I was, you got to get them on the field at the same time? Guess what they started to do?
Yeah.
Get them on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
Because they'll use motion with Bijan, either hand it to him, fake it to him, and then run Tyler. It's like, you could do that kind of stuff with Michael Penix.
Yeah. And I think you're starting to see some optimistic things, too, from Bijan in the passing game, where he's caught, you know, a lot of passes this year, obviously, out of the backfield. But even in the Commanders game, you saw Michael Penix overthrow him. But, I mean, he was going for a touchdown, where he was split out wide, you know, and running a sluggo, which is, right. You know, pretty advanced stuff there. Which, you know, this coaching staff wanted. He was doing some of that in his rookie year, Arthur Smith's last year. But I think they actually put too much of that kind of stuff on his plate, where, you know, kind of talk, Bijan's talk this year was like, I'm going back, I'm running back first. I'm like, Jeffrey was like, you know, the kind of the way that he kind of talked about his style of just being like, I want to be, you know, a running back. And then we'll talk about the receiving stuff. And I feel like he's getting to the point where he's done the running back stuff, and now he's even like showing some of the skills that he's refined over the last few couple of years in those receiving roles. And that's a way that Tyler Allgeier on the field. And I think, by the way, pretty nice setup for Tyler Allgeier in his career to prove himself in his rookie year at a really punishing position at running back, to have a couple of years where he can just kind of be the second guy who can come in, still provide value that other teams can clearly see, but not really take that punishment to the point where then when he does become a free agent, whether it's the Falcons or some other team, knows he doesn't have a lot of traction on his body, not nearly as much as other players would.
That's the point I made. Michael Turner, same thing. You know, he didn't take a whole lot of punishment because LaDainian Tomlinson was running it 500,000 times a year, and Turner would get in and run it five times a game, but you went, oh, okay, this guy can play.
You know? And I do feel like just in the context of the here and now, you really do feel it like when Bijan runs a couple times, has, you know, a couple nice runs, and then they bring in Tyler and they just run it with him again, and then he's just bare eyes. I feel like defense is almost, you can almost see it on their face. Like, gosh, now this guy's coming in, and we got to get physical after we've just, you know, had a couple tough runs from Bijan. It's a tough thing for defenses to have to go against.
You're grabbing at a ghost, and then he's Barry Sanders, and then the next thing you know, you're pounding the rock with the bus.
Yeah, exactly. You hesitate for a second, and then you're getting hit in the face. Right.
Well, that's, again, why I still remain. I know this has been frustrating. Look, even if you had made the playoffs, and even if they do, by the way, I don't want to discount the fact that they still could.
Right.
I mean, you're going to end up at home, yes, but you're going to end up at home against the – they're not – this is not a Super Bowl-ready team. I don't think anybody is going to, you know, lie to themselves and say this is a team that can make a Super Bowl yet. Now, can they make enough adjustments in the offseason? And that includes something we'll talk about next, which is what are the Cousins and how they manage this situation in order to be able to maximize their money in this offseason and not get stuck in cap hell. It's all part of the discussion. The final game of the season, Carolina Panthers, Atlanta Falcons, 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium with John Fricke and Joe Patrick. Back in a moment on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go! Let's break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Control what your controllables are. Right, go out there and win our football game. That's all we can do. Everything else is out of our control. Those things don't matter. All the things we got to do is go prepare for this football game, prepare for the Panthers.
Well, he's not wrong. Raheem Morris saying, you know, everything else is out of their control. Prepare for the Panthers, try and win this game today. And it's out of their control because they lost control of it. That's the problem. They had control, and they gave up control by losing four straight games. Welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke alongside Joe Patrick. This segment is What It Takes to Win, and What It Takes to Win is brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, you call Motlick Injury Attorneys at Pound Win. That's Pound W-I-N, Pound 946. And really, normally we would talk about what it takes to win in this game today, Joe, but what it takes to win for the Falcons, pretty simple. Show up and don't make mistakes, you're going to win the game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like this team and what we've seen from them the last couple weeks, and Michael Penix as the quarterback, is good enough to beat this Panthers team. If they just play up, show up and play their game. Now, you can't assume that that's going to be the case. Any sports team is capable of showing up or kind of not showing up mentally for a game. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately what I'm interested to see is the performance of Michael Penix. How is he developing and progressing week to week? So from Commanders game to this game. And then also on the other side of the ball, I want to see this team get after Bryce Young. Bryce Young is really kind of having a resurgence since Andy Dalton had maybe the most punishing car wreck injury of his career where he hurt his thumb and then never got his job back after that. But Bryce Young has been playing really well in Andy Dalton's stead, and looks like he's kind of reclaimed his place as, you know, the Panthers' future quarterback. So want to see the Falcons maybe put a little damper on that for Carolina fans.
All right, let's talk about the other big elephant in the room. That's the Kirk Cousins contract.
Yeah.
It may turn out, and I know that some Falcons don't want to hear this, but if they do it right, it may turn out that the Kirk Cousins contract actually was a really good one for the Atlanta Falcons. Well, here's how, okay? It was a case where you had to have a quarterback. You went out and got the number one free agent. He did lead you to 6-3. He did give you some really fun moments that you've forgotten about now because he hit that wall and fell apart. But it also gave you an opportunity when you drafted Michael Penix to allow Penix to sit on the bench and learn from him for 15 weeks and to get mentored up here, as long as you can move on from Kirk Cousins and it doesn't hamstring you into the future, it will have turned out to be an okay deal. Now, the question is, can you move on from Kirk Cousins and not let it hamstring you in the future?
Well, they're going to be hamstrung to some extent. I think the question is,
how bad?
How bad is it going to be? Is it going to be, like, catastrophically bad, kind of like what this franchise went through
with Matt Ryan
in 2021 with Matt Ryan? Or is, you know, or can they get off a little bit easier where you're able to trade him? So here's the difference, is that if the Falcons can trade Kirk Cousins instead of cutting him and letting him sign with another team, I believe that's going to save them somewhere around $25 million of dead cap. They're going to have to pay some dead cap regardless, but if you can trade him, that's going to make it much, much more easy to work around. And that's the big question. I think there's a lot of hardball being played between these sides where, you know, Kirk Cousins, first of all, put it out there in a press conference that he did after he lost the job. He went out and spoke in front of media one last time and said, you know, I didn't forget how to play quarterback, kind of signaling that still wants to play, still considers himself as being a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. And then you saw, you know, an ESPN report that came out saying that NFL GMs around the league expect him to be waived by the Falcons and for him to sign with another team for the league minimum, making the Falcons pay for
basically. In other words, Russ Wilson.
Exactly, doing the Russell Wilson thing. But then after that report came out, maybe an hour or two later, came another report from Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk saying that, you know, that's not necessarily the case, that basically refuting that report. And I think that that is the Falcons probably being the source for Florio there, trying to put forward that Kirk Cousins is under contract for the Atlanta Falcons, and they don't have to waive him at all. He could just sit here and be a backup quarterback. He could be, you know, the veteran presence for Michael Penix next year. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but the Falcons want to keep that leverage on the table and say, hey, Kirk, do you want to be our backup quarterback next year, or do you want to go start somewhere? Because if you want to start somewhere, we're happy to trade you. You're going to have to trade. You're going to have to waive your no-trade clause. We're happy to trade you, but those are your two options, as opposed to it being we either trade you or we release you. Because then that ball's in Kirk Cousins' court. He's going to be released every time.
Well, right. And there's a lot of hardball going on here, because in a little over 2 months, there's a $10 million roster due to Kirk Cousins. So, you know, that's also
the deadline. That's the deadline that this is all hurtling towards.
Yeah, in March, because the Falcons don't want to pay him $10 million to be on this team and do nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot in play here. If Kirk does want to play another year, you know, then I think, or two or three, because he does think he's young enough to play and start in the court, I think there are going to be teams in the NFL that are going to be interested. And the Falcons aren't going to necessarily want anything in return. I mean, as far as they're concerned, you could give us a conditional seventh-round pick. You know, a conditional thing. You know, seventh-round pick, and if he plays really well, then you give us a fourth. You know, I mean, but what they really want is to unload this contract. And I think there are a number of teams, because when you look at what I think is a relatively weak quarterback class in college football, outside of Cam Ward, I'm not really impressed with this quarterback class at all.
No, we were talking about it during the break. Even Cam Ward, for me, it's like questionable, but there are I don't think there's a single prospect in this quarterback class.
And steps in to be a star.
I'm no like, you know, expert at this or anything, but yeah, no one like even a Michael Penix last year. Maybe like a Bo Nix caliber.
Well, last year was a great, great class.
Last year was great, yeah. Last year was fantastic. And those quarterbacks are proving it, too. They're all playing pretty well.
And J.J. McCarthy may end up proving it somewhere else in Minnesota.
Yeah, true, true.
I mean, there may be six of them.
So, yeah.
Instead of just the five that have, you know, all excelled. And I haven't given up on Caleb Williams. It depends on what happens with him. But I will say that you look at this quarterback class, I don't mean to be kind of a Debbie Downer here, you know, as a Nebraska fan, because he's a Colorado guy. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is an NFL quarterback. I just don't. And but I could be wrong. He could turn into Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I'm not high on that. But if a team does want to take Shedeur Sanders really high, I don't think you can start him right away. This is where Kirk Cousins becomes a guy that you bring in who can start for you right now and lead you, so that you don't have to put a rookie out there and have him get destroyed. Much the same way, I think the Carolina Panthers, the team we're playing today, is somewhat of a cautionary tale, because you put Bryce Young on a really bad team and he got destroyed, and now he's just now coming back around. You know, and it may or may not work out for him. And so, to me, Shedeur Sanders is a lot like Bryce Young.
Yeah,
I think that's the comp.
I agree. I tend to agree with you. And, you know, when I watch Shedeur play, it always just seems like he's got a ton of time. You know, it does not feel like an NFL style offense. And just in terms of like the rapidity of getting through the progressions, that you know, sitting in the pocket and delivering. Now, he is a pocket quarterback. He's this guy who wants to throw it more than he wants to, you know, run around, but ultimately he does end up trying, you know, kind of leaving the pocket and creating space for himself, and that's just not something you can expect to do at the NFL level.
And again, I'm only using Shedeur as a way of getting to Kirk Cousins, which is to say, I think this is a relatively weak quarterback class, and there are so many teams out there that have been tanking. We talked about the number of teams. There are half a dozen teams that are 3-13. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? And so, but they all need quarterbacks. You know, what are the Jets going to do at quarterback? What are the Titans going to do at quarterback? All these teams that need quarterbacks, but they're going to need a bridge guy. Yeah. And Kirk Cousins, at the end of his career, may end up being the ultimate bridge quarterback. 1 year with the Falcons, go somewhere else, bridge for somebody else. Go somewhere else, bridge for somebody else. He may be a bridge quarterback. He may not like that.
Right.
But he's going to make a lot of money. And if he hadn't hit the wall here, he could have been the Falcons quarterback for a couple of years. And then that was like, okay, guess what? It's over, Kirk. You know, no matter what he thinks, the fact of the matter remains, he may be the quarterback of the Raiders next year. He may be the quarterback of the Titans. Does he want to be a backup in Atlanta? No. So he's going to have to accept. The Falcons have him over the barrel. If Kirk Cousins, what you said in the news conference, says, he basically said, I want to play in the NFL. The Falcons are going, you're not playing here. We're into the Michael Penix era, dude. It's over. So Kirk is going to have to uproot his family again, and they're going to have to go somewhere else. And the question is where. And, you know, I don't think he can put a limit on the no trade clause, because the Falcons are going to say no.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, I'm not going to this team or that team.
There's one other problem here, though, for the Falcons when it comes to trading Kirk Cousins, and that is the teams that would be receiving Kirk Cousins are also extremely invested in getting him as a free agent signing and not as a trade. Because
right.
If they trade for him, they are going to have to pay his salary, not the Falcons, and them just offsetting the $1
million. Well, it depends on the team that wants to go in, because, he was the number one free agent in the NFL last year. He's essentially the number one free agent in the NFL right now, in a manner of speaking, in that he's not a free agent. But if there are
he's available.
Right. It's like what happened when you get released, here's what happened. The Falcons wanted a quarterback after Desmond Ridder. Russ comes on the market, who's released, right? Russ then gets to determine and set the thing. Russ comes up and says, I'm not going, all these fans who said we should have signed Russ. Russ came out and said, I'm only going to play one of two teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New York Giants. I'm going to go to Pittsburgh. I'm going to talk to them. I'll take the Giants phone call. I'm not talking to anybody else. Cousins can do the same. And if you're a team that wants Kirk Cousins, but he doesn't list you, let's say you're the New York Giants, and the Giants, he's like, I'm not moving to New York. But if he's traded, that's a different story, because he doesn't control the trade.
Yeah. But he had to waive the no-trade clause, which he has.
Well, but he raised the no-trade clause, but the Falcons are not going to accept, you know, I'll waive the no-trade clause, but I'm not going to go to this team, or this team, and the Falcons are going to go, no.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You're not going to be able to limit it. We have to be able to trade you to wherever we can unload you.
Yeah.
And so he may not have a choice in that matter. If you want to, look, you want to be a starting quarterback, you need to waive the no-trade, and you don't get to say, you know, that these teams are off the market here, you know. But if he's a free agent or if he's waived, then he can say, no, I'm not going to the Giants. He gets to pick, right?
Yeah. So it's I don't know how this thing is going to play out, honestly.
I know one thing. Kirk Cousins is not going to be a Falcon next year.
That's for sure. That is definitely for sure. He will not be the most expensive backup quarterback in the league.
No, he's not going to be here. You know, if they have to. What Denver basically did with Russ Wilson was they believed so much, or Sean Payton talked him into it, and obviously it's worked out, is they basically assigned, they put the Russ Wilson money to Bo Nix.
Right.
Bo Nix makes like $900,000 a year, but in Denver's world, he's making $48 million or
yeah.
whatever.
Which you
know?
Can say the same thing for the Falcons. Like Michael Penix, let's just think of his cap hit as being a $35 million cap hit.
Right.
And if we get a good quarterback for that, totally worth it.
Right.
You take that every single day and twice on Sundays.
And the Falcons are going to be able to make some room in this roster in the offseason. Remember, they got a lot of guys on one-year deals. Simmons is a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Judon's a one-year deal. There's other deals that they can rework. And so, they're going to be able to make some look, it's not a zero-sum game here for Terry Fontenot. They just got to get creative.
Yeah. They're going to have to get creative, because they're not in the same kind of financial situation that they've been in the last couple years, where they filled up this cap sheet. Like, they're going to probably have to make some other cuts. And not just, like, Kirk Cousins, obviously a big one, but you know, if the cap impact, if he creates a cap impact that, you know, you might have to cut some players who are starters for you this year, like David Onyemata. Don't even want to kind of broach Grady Jarrett, but like, he is in that conversation where high earner late in his career. Now he's providing value for you on the field, both I think in the locker room presence and literally on the field, where it's going to be hard to do
Or maybe you go to Grady and say, look, the Falcon for Life thing is real. Let's restructure
exactly.
this.
So
and you can retire.
It's going to be a little bit more of a queasy offseason, I think, with some of the moves that are made than what Falcons fans have been accustomed to these last couple of years.
This portion of the Wait For Tailgate Show brought to you by Orchard. Sell your home, get paid twice. You can learn how at orchard.com. We are counting down to final regular season game of the year at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers against Michael Penix and your Atlanta Falcons, right here on the Wait For Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcons, Panthers, game day Sunday here in Atlanta. John Fricke and Joe Patrick taking you to the top of the hour. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson, Network pregame. And, of course, Wes and David, the call inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium as the Falcons try to end the season above 500. And then we'll see what happens in Tampa today. I think most of us expect it to be non-competitive, but you never know here. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by the W Sauce, official sauce of our tailgate, bigger, better, bolder. Visit WSauce.com today to find a retailer near you. Joe, to the game today. As we just discussed, you know, the big decision in the offseason is going to be what happens with Kirk Cousins, his contract, and his role moving forward with either this team or another team. There are a number of other players we may be, if they don't make the playoffs, seeing for the final time. And other players who are trying to play to remain on the team. Like, for example, will Matthew Judon be on the team next year? Will Justin Simmons? You mentioned David Onyemata. You know, what is the future going to hold for Grady Jarrett? Though I think that Grady's going to be on the team.
I did too.
I think that'll be a long-term thing. But I have to see more from certain players. Let's look at the secondary. We still have not to this point necessarily found anybody to run alongside A.J. Terrell. And so what is it from this secondary that's going to have to be a big key here when we talk about cornerback? Now, Jesse Bates is one thing, but Justin Simmons is the other safety, backup safety, because the depth in the secondary has been – your front line's pretty good. Your depth is terrible.
I am so glad you brought this up, John, because it was something that I was looking at some of the numbers this week about the Falcons' primary nickelback this season, D. Alford. And it has been a rough year for D. Alford. He has been targeted on a per-play basis more than any defensive back in the NFL. He's been targeted 95 times on less snaps than anyone in the most top 22 most targeted defensive backs. And this is a nickelback. And you know, listen, a nickelback is basically a starting job in the NFL, or at least it should be considered that way. And Mike Hughes, the Falcons cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell, actually played in the nickel and played much worse in the nickel in 2023 than he has this year. I think he's actually performed relatively well this year. And so I think it's of paramount importance that the Falcons really make an effort to acquire an impact player to play that nickel cornerback spot. I think it's the biggest weakness on this Falcons defense right now. We saw the Commanders going after D. Alford time and time again. Zach Ertz was having it. Lamide Zaccheaus was getting what he wanted. And that could change the fortunes of this defensive backfield. But I think a lot's going to be made about defensive backs. I want to specifically just say that I think it's the nickelback situation in particular that they need to address.
Are you comfortable now, presuming, and you have to make presumptions, that Troy Anderson will finally get healthy in the offseason with the rise of what we've seen of JT Bertrand? Are you comfortable with the linebacking core, or is that an area that you really want to kind of get into, or is the focus all – because I still think the focus on the interior defensive line
I agree with you, and I do have some concerns about the linebacking core, and especially, you know, like, I don't think you can – it's hard to really be able to count on Troy Anderson being healthy next year.
Right.
You know?
Haven't been able to count on it till this point.
Yeah, exactly. So it is a concern, but I do have to say, though, despite the fact that he's been hurt, you know, the Falcons have been – decent there. They've been okay. Like, I wouldn't point to the defense. When I look at the defense, I wouldn't say, oh, it's been the linebacker.
But you count Kate Nellis as a linebacker, I guess.
Right, right.
I mean, that's where do you plug him in at?
Right.
If you say, well, he's a linebacker, therefore, you know, but I don't count him as a linebacker.
Right, he's not. Yeah. I mean, he's like a blitzing linebacker, basically. He's kind of an on-ball, he's like an inside linebacker who also plays like on the ball, basically. And so you basically need like a rangy slash coverage type of inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. And that's what Troy Anderson was supposed to be, hasn't been
Which
on the
Nate
field.
Which Nate Landman is not.
And Nate Landman is definitely not that guy. Nate Landman is your base package linebacker who comes in on running downs and is a bit part player for you, can provide solid value in that role. But it's that, like you said, that rangy coverage linebacker, which Troy Anderson was supposed to be. I think JD Bertrand is also that kind of prototype or archetype, but he's not he's still developing. He's still a developing player, and there's a reason why J.D. Bertrand was a fifth-round pick or whatever he was. So he's got some limitations he's going to need to improve on. But it's not like – while I do think it is something that the Falcons will need to address, especially the depth, I don't think it's something they need to prioritize with, like, one of their top picks to go out and get a linebacker, because I think there are more pertinent needs.
You're close to it. Is the Guardian helmet for J.D. Bertrand, which has been the subject of many memes, is that a is that medically or is that just his personal choice?
His personal choice, yeah. He dealt with some concussion issues at Notre Dame. And then, obviously, here with the Falcons, he was out for a while, suffered in that Bucs game, that Thursday night game. So, yeah, that was just his choice to continue to wear the Guardian cap. And yeah, we're seeing it more and more around the league. I'm interested to see exactly how much it's going to proliferate here in the next couple seasons.
Yeah, a lot of people think the offensive linemen will all wear them. Yeah. You know, so we'll see. I was just curious about that.
Yeah.
No, look, so as we address offseason needs, and I know that why you address the offseason needs, we're still in the regular season, because what you see today is going to develop. This is the last, you know, showcase for a number of players to make their case. Like, for example, do you expect Lorenzo Carter to be on the team next year?
No.
No, neither do I.
No.
But what of Zach Harrison, for example? Nobody talks about this guy. Is this the last chance he has? Because we saw flashes, but we can know he's either got to start to really perform or, you know what, at some point you got to go on and get somebody who's going to be able to give you more than he's giving you.
So this is a coaching thing for me. Actually, I think Zach Harrison has been, like you said, the flashes, like,
oh, right, the flashes.
I want to see more.
Right.
I want to see longer durations of him playing. But, yeah, no, I get you. And I think that you're right. Like, players like Lorenzo Carter, I think, are, unfortunately for him, going to be kind of the first ones on the chopping block as far as the cuts go, because that's, like, money where you can get a younger, very cost-efficient player to step in and play that role as opposed to, you know, some of these other positions. So, I think it's a perfect opportunity for Zach Harrison.
Has Judon shown you something now that they made the change on defense?
Who?
Has Judon showed you something? Because they changed the defense, and suddenly he was
he's
there.
Looking better.
Yeah, he was making defective passes, you know, getting pass rush, upsetting things. The last four or five games, Matthew Judon looked like the guy that I expected to see all season.
Yeah, I mean, if he's back on, like, a team-friendly deal, that would be, like, a short-term, you know, cost-efficient deal, then, yeah, I'm all for it. But what does that actually look like? Are there other teams that would have more cash to spend going to be willing to throw it at Matthew Judon? I think probably so, and so I don't expect him to be back.
Plus, you have to kind of wonder, you know, is Braylon Trice healthy?
Right.
Brandon Dorlos, we didn't get enough of a chance to see. I'm not sure where he falls into things in the future. I
none of us can tell you whether he's good
right,
or not.
Yeah. Well, same with Rook Arora.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times where Rook Arora has made some plays, and you go, oh, there's Rook.
Yeah.
And then, wait, where did Rook go?
Right.
There's Rook. Oh, where did Rook go?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A lot of rotation on this defensive line especially, but that's a whole other frustration I have with some of these players, like not having enough reps in games to be able to actually prove themselves in our eyes for us to make judgments on them. But certainly the coaching staff will have made judgments having seen these guys in practice, and it'll be interesting to see what they do.
All right, so coaching. You expect multiple coaching changes in the staff. Look, Raheem back, Terry back. I think we both agree on that. Do you expect, like, is Jimmy Lake going to be back?
I think that's the one that's, I think people are most hopeful to see. if I'm just, you know, reading the tea leaves of, you know, the way that people feel. But I would think that there will be some staff changes for sure. You've got to make changes. You've got to make some changes to try to improve, and I think that's the one that's the most obvious, quite frankly.
But if it's working and Jimmy's allowing Raheem to call the defense, does he really want to bring in somebody that wants to call the defense? You know, I mean, if Raheem's the de facto defensive coordinator.
But I don't think he wants to be. And I think that's why they started the season that way, is like he didn't want to be that guy. But ultimately, what's transpired has forced his hand, so we'll see what happens.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see. There's going to be a fascinating offseason for the Atlanta Falcons, and maybe it doesn't begin for another week or so. We'll talk about that as we continue, as the Falcons get ready for the Carolina Panthers in the final regular season game of the year at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Go! Let's break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show, final segment of I don't know. Maybe it's not our final show. Should be a title for
maybe.
Like,
that's
should be a title for like a series. Maybe not our final show. we don't know. It kind of looks
like
it might
be. Sports. You never know. You never know.
It could be. It might not be. We'll see if we get extended in another week or so here in a few hours. If we get kind of lucky here. Final Picks brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this football season at mancavestore.com. If it is, Jersey Mike, I really appreciate all the work you have
done, man.
All year long here.
You're the best.
And to Noel White. Let's hope it's not. Hope we're all back together next week for a game against the Vikings and Lions. Speaking of that, I think that there's really was it St. Brown or was – I don't want to call the wrong person who said – that this has got to change in the NFL. I think that the loser of today, tonight's game against the Vikings and Lions is going to be on the road either here or Tampa.
Right.
I think they've got a valid point. I think the NFL has to really look at this. You can say that all the division champions are in, but that you cannot send a 14-3 team on the road to face, you know, potentially a 9-8 or 10-17.
Yeah, I agree. As much as it pains me to say, because the Falcons might be the recipient of that kind of good fortune if they were to make the playoffs, but it feels wrong for, you know, a team like the Lions or the Vikings, whichever one loses tonight, to have to go on the road and play their playoffs, basically. You know, it's like they're not really going to get many home games unless they get things break the right way for them, any home game. So, yeah, that's tough.
The winner of the Vikings-Lions game gets the number one seed and the bye and all that. The loser has to go on the road and opening round.
Part of it is that I don't think they ever could have expected the rules could have expected like the NFL to turn out like this. The way to have two 14-win teams in one division. It's crazy.
Right. But, and again, first time ever, two 14-win teams have met in a regular season game. And it was Amon-Ra St. Brown, by the way, who said that. Anyway, he's right. So, Falcons and Carolina – any predictions here in the final minute of the show? Here, I expect the Falcons
fun.
To come out here and
have
some fun.
Yep. Let it all out.
I think the Falcons are going to win handily.
I did too.
I think it's going to look a lot like the Giants game.
Let's go home 34-10 winners and have a Merry Christmas.
Joe, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, John.
All righty, Joe Patrick and everybody. So stand by. We're going to take you inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I get the pregame show and get the network coverage. Stand by for Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson counting down to the final kickoff of the year at Mercedes-Benz. Falcons and Panthers today on Sports Radio 92 on the game.